the talk you'll be giving at Morningside College is called The Rise of the Rest, the Post-American World, which will explore what it means to live in a truly global era. Can you tell me a little bit more about what you'll discuss?
For the first time in 500 years, the non-Western world has risen to become an equal part of the global system. What has been happening over the last 30 or 40 years has been the rise of everyone else. Most dramatically, of course, China, which has gone from 30 years ago being less than 1% of global GDP to now being closer to 15% of global GDP. India, with its 1.3 billion people, also coming up, hundreds of millions of people rising out of poverty. And these countries finding a way to succeed and to thrive in a new global age. And so what I want to do is to tell that story and explain how profoundly it has changed the world, but also to explain how profoundly positive this story is for everybody, the United States included.
Well, now, with your show on CNN, Fareed Zakaria, GPS, you're looking at public affairs around the world, and you're exposed to so many different cultures and ways of life, not to mention that you are an immigrant from India. So what's your view on American exceptionalism?
Well, I'm an immigrant, so I voted with my feet. I think the United States is an amazing place, and I think it is in many ways still the kind of the great magnet for so many people around the world. It's the country that, it allows you to be yourself. It allows you to do what you want. This vast, incredibly diverse, incredibly dynamic country. And it remains, in my view, still extremely open and welcoming. Of course, there is, we're hearing it, we're seeing it. There is a debate, and people are more worried now than they've been before. But I think America retains a very distinctive openness and a special quality. There is a danger that we close ourselves down, and we've gone through periods like that this in the past. It's not outside of American history. But I think that what I think we should remember is that the long view of American history. We have always taken people from outside. We have always taken people from very different backgrounds, and we have managed to assimilate them, and we have thrived as a country. People forget now, but we used to be deeply suspicious of immigrants from Germany. We used to speak horribly about the Italians and the Irish, and were in terms that were quite similar to the way people talk about Mexicans and Muslims today. Crime-ridden, infested, dangerous, with dual loyalties, all those epithets. And yet when we look back on American history, one of the distinctive strengths of America is that it has managed to absorb these communities and cultures and create this incredibly dynamic American whole.
Well, in addition to being a host on CNN, you're also an opinion writer for The Washington Post. And last year in a column, you wrote about, how you are Muslim. And you simply stated in the headline, I am Muslim. Why did you feel compelled to write that piece? Because in it, you said you're not a practicing Muslim, but you still felt it was important to identify as a Muslim.
Been doing this almost 25 years, writing opinion pieces of some kind or the other, and I'd never written a piece that talked about my religious identity, or I don't think I've ever talked about my ethnic identity. I've never written a piece that said as a person of color, person from Asia, person from India, Muslim. I've never said any of that because, first of all, I viewed my job as trying to persuade people of goodwill on the basis of rational arguments. I don't want you to agree with me or disagree with me because of who I am, but I want you to hear what I'm saying. I'm a Harvard PhD in political science. I've traveled the world as a journalist. Those are the things that I think give me some special qualifications to write. But when Donald Trump started his campaign about banning Muslims and banning all Muslims and talking about all Muslims as being suspect, I felt I sort of had to stand up and be counted, you know, that I, even though I am a non-practicing Muslim, even though, you know, religion plays really very little of a role in my life, I don't think I've been in a mosque except as a tourist for 35 years. But I felt as though if I were to just kind of duck and hope that all this terrible language, you know, washed over me and nobody would notice, that I was being a coward. And so I felt it was worthwhile to tell people that, you know, when you talk about all Muslims like this, you're talking about people like me in addition to whoever else you're thinking of. And so it was a hard column to write, but I'm glad I wrote it because I felt, as I say, not to do so felt to me like some kind of a weird act of cowardice.
Yeah, I was recently talking with a young woman from Ethiopia, and she's Muslim, and she wears a headscarf. And, you know, when you wear a headscarf, you have a visible outer symbol of, you know, of your religion. Mm-hmm. And she was telling me about how she's gotten more derogatory comments and more just kind of looks and discrimination against her in recent months. You know, is that something you've experienced as well? You know, you wrote that column back in December, and then how things have progressed since then.
What happened after that column is I got this huge infusion of very, very bigoted and racist commentary, which almost never even referenced what I was writing in from week to week, either on the show or in the column. It was just saying, you know, go back home. Most of these people often didn't know what home meant when they were like, go back to Egypt, go back to wherever, you know, whatever country they imagined I came from. A lot of stuff that was really quite so vile that I can't repeat it. Some people called up and threatened my daughters who were 8 and 13. So I had a burst of that. Some of that has sort of died down, but much of it has died down. But I'd still say, you know, it's been a big uptick in the kind of personal attacks on me because of who I am, not what I say. My sort of experience in the United States remains an incredibly, incredibly positive one. And so I don't want people to take it the wrong way. I'm just, what I noticed was that people feel that they now have permission to be a little bit more openly prejudiced, frankly, than they were in the past. But that's still that's very much a minority, and that the vast majority of people have been incredibly open, gracious, and hospitable in America to me always.
I've been talking with Fareed Zakaria, host of CNN's International Affairs program, Fareed Zakaria GPS. He will be this year's Waite Lecture guest speaker. The talk begins at 7:30 p.m. Tuesday in Morningside College's Epley Auditorium. For Siouxland Public Media, I'm Allie Carson.